So there is that real sensation of like presence that you get when you're in VR that you just cannot get from a regular voice or video call. That is the incredible, amazing thing that social VR can do that you just don't get from video sharing platforms. That's something that I really try to explain to folks that have never experienced VR, but I know would benefit from it, especially like if they're homebound for whatever reason. Like, I think that everybody who's stuck at home should have a VR headset.
Welcome to Invisible Not Broken. Today we're talking about VR, accessibility, and the social aspects of virtual gaming. Our host Monica is joined by artist and disability advocate Sunny Ammerman, who lives with septo-optic dysplasia as well as other rare disorders covered in this episode.
Do an episode catch-up thing because I miss you and...
I know, it's been way too long.
I was so excited when I saw the MetaQuest 3 come out because I'm like, I'll get to talk to Sunny again because this I have really good excuse to like chat with you.
Are you going to get one?
I already did. Are you kidding? I have no self-control.
What?
Who do you think I am?
I've been saving up money to be able to do it. And
I'm so excited.
I really
for you.
Can't afford it. I'm going to do it anyway.
That's where I was. Yeah, I was like, I really shouldn't. To be fair, like I did not buy the Apple one. If it was like $1,000, I would have bought it.
Yeah,
I would have found some way to like scrape and scrimp and like find some way to get it. But for $3,500, it doesn't last for 2 hours. And that's the baseline one.
Wow.
The base is like that low and it's mostly an AR machine. It's not a VR. And I was like, I still love that. AR is my dream right now. Like,
oh, absolutely. Yes.
Right. Okay. Like, you freaking. Of course you can imagine. That's why I'm talking to you.
Because
you're the only person that can geek out about this stuff. Because my family's like, can you stop? My kids don't even like the MetaQuest. I'm the only one who uses it now. Like, my kids hate it.
More for you?
I was so mad when I first got it because they were obsessed with it. And I was like, no, it's my turn. Are you my turn? Can we talk about that for a moment? I'm like, wait, no, I'm the sick person. That always dead. And somehow the controllers, I have never seen anyone in my house put a battery in that controller. I'm the only one who like does it. Like, y'all can actually get to the batteries. I'm the one who like has to like stumble and crawl like I'm going to Mordor to get the batteries. Like, it's that level. Like, I'm already short. I like eating. I'm full hobbit and trying to get to the batteries to become this like a one ring to rule them all. I love you. You're like the only person I can truly nerd out with.
I'm excited, man. Same with you.
Let me just tell you, they put some really good accessibility features just into the hardware of it.
Oh, I know. Oh, I got so much. The hardware. Okay. I was excited about the new updates they've added. Like,
they talk that too. Yeah.
This one. Yes.
And please understand, I hate Mark Zuckerberg with the flaming passion of a million suns. However, that being said, I put it in the same category as Amazon of my disabled tail needs this. This is
necessary evils. Yeah.
Necessary evils. Although I did cancel my Amazon, so I don't have it anymore. So we'll see. We'll see how long it lasts. I'm just kind of, it's an experiment. But the hardware, the best hardware change that I found was in the controllers because it's a little button. And I wish they were better at explaining how to do everything. I spent like the first week with this thing on YouTube and I count myself as pretty good with tech. It's a little button at the top of the thing to open up the controller. And that it's just a button instead of this like get the butter knife out and like have to perform surgery. Button and the whole thing comes off. No problem. Super easy. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, for the battery cover, right?
Yeah, for the battery cover. Yeah. I was like, my fingers are so grateful.
Yeah, I recently watched a review because I've been like in preparation for buying the Quest 3. I've been watching a bunch of videos of people reviewing it just to hype myself up even more. And somebody covered that, the pushing the button to get the battery cover off. And that was, why didn't they do that earlier? So I'm glad they learned from their mistakes because the Quest 2 controllers, they're a bit of a hassle to pop off there. I feel like I'm going to break them every time.
My hands fall apart because I have other stainless. So like it takes pointing for me to break.
They're springy little fingers.
Yeah. And then I don't know if it's the Quest, but my favorite app is Big Screen because I haven't gone to the last movie I saw in a theater was Aladdin.
No kidding.
Not the first one. Thank you. but that was the last time I got to see a movie in a theater because between my POTS and my ADD and I fall apart if I sit still for too long. I was crying by the end of that movie. Like I was, and not because it was great. That was a horrible movie. Yeah. The exhaustion of getting in a car, getting to a place, getting in the wheelchair, hoping they have a wheelchair accessible spot. And even like in the bougie ones where they have like the recliners, I can't sit in my own living room and watch a movie. Like that's just beyond me. So to do big screen, you get like the whole
ring in the theater.
Right.
Yeah. Like, and I have to like downloaded a Parisian theater from a very 1920s looking theater. Oh. And it's gorgeous. And then, you know, when people come in, it's like you get the experience of rude people.
Oh, yeah.
If you're missing people yelling and it being abusive to you, you know, you can experience that.
Absolutely.
Too. That's definitely part of something you could do. They added an accessibility feature and I thought of you. I almost called you because I was like, Sunny's going to lose her mind when she hears
that. Okay, I'm ready.
But if you go, and you have to kind of go deep into the controls of it. But you can do a tilt, so you can do bed tilt, so you can lay down and watch it.
They added that natively?
Yes.
Is it in the big screen app, or is this like something in the headset? So, okay, well, we'll get into
the headset
thing later.
We absolutely can. I think I told you how to fall, and so I am
I saw your post. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like in sorry shape right now. And I was like, God, I can't even sit up for very long. I was like, I want to watch a movie. But like, if anyone's unfamiliar with this, like when you put on the screen, it doesn't just like adjust to where you're at. You don't get the viewpoint of where you're at. You get the viewpoint of like kind of where the screen wants you to be. And like, Netflix is the freaking worst with this because you have to sit on their couch digitally and you have to be in some, and all I could think of is like, what if I really hated Tahoe? Like, what if I really like had some sort of trauma around a cabin in Tahoe? And like, that's what you're forced into. And like, you have to like adjust your sitting and your screen thing. And then you have to sit up and watch it. If you lay down, you're looking at a couch or the back of a couch.
A big screen made it to where you can lay back and it moves the screen for you. Brilliant. Learn from them, everybody else. Big screen is shout out to them because that's awesome.
I always wonder if you had something to do with it. I know that you talked to like developers and I was like, was it Sunny?
No, but I'm honored that you thought of me. That's something they do on their own. I've never spoken with the big screen developers, but I would love to sometime because at least even just to say thanks for that. Because that is really thoughtful.
I actually wrote them.
So nice. Cool.
You know, everyone in the world needs someone to scratch them behind the ears and say, good job. Thank you. Because they hear enough, you know, they hear enough abuse. I figure if they do some good, I should scratch behind the ears.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel the same way about stuff like that.
You were responsible for the phishing thing, right?
Oh, no, no. I don't think I'm responsible for any changes in VR right now as of yet. Potentially some stuff with Forever Games. Because I did talk with the developers, point out some accessibility issues, and they said they would work on those. So maybe they've done something, and maybe I had something to do with that at some point, but I don't want to take credit for it. These people are working really hard, and they really want their games to be accessible. So maybe I just kind of gave them an idea of what they were missing out on. But big screen was not me. But that did remind me, though, of when you mentioned, you know, having to have the screen move with you, the Quest, I almost said Oculus. No more of that. They're the Meta Quest now. Well, R.A.P. Oculus, you were a cool name. Anyway.
So much better than Meta. Oh my God. Why?
I don't want to be mean about the name change because, you know, somebody there was really excited about that name change. And when they announced it and everybody poo-pooed it, that had to feel awful. And it just, that feels bad to me.
If Mark Zuckerberg feels awful about it, if he's capable of feeling awful about something, I'm here for it. And not because I want people to feel bad. I need him to get something called empathy. Not sympathy, empathy. I need him to actually be able to feel bad about his choices.
Mm. Yeah, he's definitely making some crappy decisions.
And then Elon's like, hey, hold my beer.
Anyway, speaking of crappy decisions.
X did worse. I thought Meta was the worst. And then X came in and I'm like, wow, y'all are just, if there's a brand you put a lot of money into with recognition, you are just going to destroy it. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's a strange trend in Silicon Valley right now. But anyway, speaking of bad choices, in the MetaQuest headsets, there used to be a feature called lie down mode, where you could actually turn off tracking and lay down and have things automatically reset to where you were. And it worked with most apps. Like you could just lay back and be in, you know, whatever app you wanted to be in, and it would automatically reset so that it would be in front of your face. So folks that were bedbound could have more accessibility, at least within the Oculus home menu and stuff like that. They took that feature away like a year ago, and they haven't brought it back yet. We're working on this. Once one of the people in my support group that I host, I'm sure we'll talk more about that group later on, but they told me that they had to get rid of their Quest because sitting up with the headset on, just that little bit of weight of the headset was exacerbating their symptoms. And they can only use it when they're laying down. And when they removed that lie down option, they were no longer able to use their headset for the things they wanted to use it for. It became just a useless paperweight to them, so they returned it. And that was really disappointing to hear about. So I reached out to some friends over at XR Access because they're amazing. If you guys want to learn more about them, xraccess.org. They work on accessibility research for AR and VR to make it more accessible for folks and to like create more tools for folks that are like vision impaired. You can have AR tools that can help you identify things, stuff like that. We can get more into xraccess later, but I reached out to somebody that I knew at xraccess and asked if they could reach out to somebody at Meta about this missing lie down feature and get that brought back. And he said that he'd reach out to him, and I waited a little while and didn't hear anything back. So I reached out again and said, hey, would you hear anything back from your Meta contacts? And he said, I haven't heard anything yet. Let me reach out again. And the next day I got a message from him saying that they are going to re-implement it eventually. So eventually it's coming. They acknowledge that missing that feature is not good and they want to bring it back. It's not here yet, but hopefully one day they will bring it back. That is one issue that, you know, that I'm really passionate about. I want everybody laying down to be able to access VR because it can really help with isolation and loneliness and even physical therapy. I think I've rambled long enough about that. Go on.
If you ramble, I am in so much fucking trouble. I wanted to like spend a lot of time talking about your group. So let's do isolation after we talk about physical therapy. Because that is my obsession in life. Mm-hmm. There is no cure for what I have. The only management is opioids and physical therapy. Those are the only two ways to manage my condition. And the opioids are so I can do physical therapy because God knows I could not handle that pain level without, like, you have to be able to get to a pain level that's acceptable to do the physical therapy. And since I can't go into my physical therapist every day, I now have like three apps that I'm obsessed with on the, well, on my phone and also on the Quest. So which ones are your favorites?
Well, luckily with my condition, I don't have to do a lot of physical therapy. So that's not something that I have to really worry about.
Oh, you know, people probably don't know what you have. Do you want to like share or is that a no share?
Oh, shoot. That's a good point. No, I'm happy to talk about it. So I've got a rare disease called septo-optic dysplasia, and that caused a couple other rare conditions, one of which is optic nerve hypoplasia, which means my optic nerves didn't develop properly. So I'm blind in both peripherals, and I've got poor vision overall. And the other thing that it caused was panhypopituitarism, which is a pituitary disorder. The pituitary gland is the part of your brain that tells the rest of your body what hormones to make, how much, and when. Mine doesn't function properly enough on its own, so I had to take a lot of hormones and medications to replace those missing hormones. And, you know, it keeps me alive, helps me to function, but as good as the treatment is, it is not perfect. It is not completely analogous to what a normally healthy person's body produces throughout the day. So I sometimes deal with debilitating symptoms of fatigue, brain fog, weakness, stuff like that. And then, of course, there is a litany of metabolic issues that comes with not having a functioning pituitary gland. So I have to stay on top of nutrition and exercise, making sure my electrolytes are balanced. Due to the panhypopituitarism, I've got secondary adrenal insufficiency, which can be life-threatening in an extremely stressful situation where somebody's body would normally be producing cortisol. My body doesn't know to do that. So instead of being able to regulate the, you know, bodily functions, if I'm in an extremely stressful situation, like for instance, a car crash, my blood pressure could drop suddenly. I won't be able to regulate my electrolytes. Within 30 minutes, if I don't receive an injection of Soliquartef, which is a steroid injection, I could experience brain death, coma and brain death within 30 minutes in an extreme case. So adrenal insufficiency can be fatal. Fortunately, my condition is handled very well. I've had adrenal crises a few times in my life, never extremely, you know, an emergency situation. I've been to the ER to get IV steroids and stuff to treat it. Luckily, I've never been close to death. Hopefully, that will never happen to me. Unfortunately, due to the fact that adrenal insufficiency symptoms are so vague and hard to pin down, a lot of times when somebody with adrenal insufficiency goes into an ER with an adrenal crisis, the ER staff will take a look at the fact that they're sluggish. They may be having a hard time with motor reflexes. They may seem like they're drunk and they will assume that they're on some sort of substance and they won't get the proper treatment they need. Sadly, folks with adrenal insufficiency have died because of this. So I'm always trying to raise awareness for, you know, the fact that adrenal insufficiency exists. And I've talked to my local EMS workers about the fact that adrenal insufficiency is a thing and I've got it and what to do in that situation. And they looked at me like I was a Karen. Still, no one's a better word to use to describe that. But they, I was just trying to, you know, save my own life. I was very polite, of course. But anyway, they don't like being told how to do their jobs. But point I'm trying to make is I try to raise awareness and I hope that sharing that information will help, you know, make you more aware of the situation as well. I wear a medical ID tag that says that I have adrenal insufficiency in case something like that happens. Doing everything that I can to raise awareness for that. But long story short, my body doesn't function well enough on its own and I'm just doing my best to carry on. physically, it can impact me, like with when I mentioned the weakness and the muscle fatigue, stuff like that. Sometimes it can make it really difficult for me to get exercise when I need it. And exercise is very important, considering all the metabolic issues that come with having a pituitary disorder. So it's just one thing feeds off of another thing, and it can get very frustrating. Overall, they handle it well, and I'm really good at coping with it. I had a great therapist that taught me some great skills. Shout out to Julie. I miss you.
Oh, do share this. We are heading into the 2024 election. Share some skills. What are some of the skills so that we don't all suffer from adrenal fatigue by, like, November?
No kidding. Well, this is going to sound really cliche, and I'm sure you've heard it before, but I'm not lying when I say that this has probably saved my life, and that is just practicing gratitude. You know, sometimes things can seem really dark and you're struggling and you can't see past the end of your bed, let alone the end of tomorrow. Feels like it's going to last forever, but everybody's got something that they can be grateful for. Even if it's just the fact that you are alive and able to see to the end of your bed, you know, even if it's something that small, just having that practice of gratitude, you will see more and more light. The more gratitude that you are willing to acknowledge. I am extremely privileged. I am so lucky to have a wonderful support system. I've got fantastic friends. My partner, Justin, is incredible. I've got so many things that I can say that I'm grateful for. I know that some folks might find it harder, you know, to find things to be grateful for, but if you can find something, latch on to that and don't forget that you have that. And just, you can find things to be grateful for. And that practice of gratitude really, really does help.
I believe you. That's been one of the only things that got me through a lot of dark stuff. That's very helpful. Does that change, like, with what you're dealing with? I assume jump scare games, they need to be off your headset, but also there should probably be better warnings on things. They were getting better with, like, the flashing lights and the warnings for flashing lights. I'm just wondering what else they could do. And, like, we're going to talk about physical therapy. So, like, what physical therapy apps are you using on the Oculus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and just in terms of, like, scare jumps or jump scares, things like that, those things don't really affect me all that much. I'm sure that if I was exposed to that kind of shock too frequently, it might, you know, cause me to have to take a little bit of extra hydrocortisone medication. Like, whenever we go to a theme park, I love riding roller coasters. Like, Orion at Kings Island, the tallest, fastest roller coaster in Ohio. And I think it's record breaking. We rode that five times throughout our visit to Kings Island one year. And I did take extra hydrocortisone. I stress dosed. Stress dosing is a term that means you take extra steroids to make up for your lack of cortisol, just to make sure I wasn't feeling absolutely sick and miserable and dead the next day. And it got me through. But normally I don't think I have to worry too much about jump scares.
I hate them. I will not. No, life is scary enough. Thank you. I'm raising a teenager and a young adult. I'm scared all the time. I'm good.
No, that's fair.
I want fuzzy little kitten games. I want games where I'm like, if you could put me in Scotland with the cows, where I can sit on a rock and watch streams, I want the cozy games. I do not want to be frightened. I was so mad. They had the new cat game. It's like this, like, super kawaii, cute little game where you're like at a cat rest, like you or something. And it's just like these little kawaii cats. And you're supposed to be able to play with them. And I'm like, this is totally my jam. I want this. It's a big thing on Nintendo Switch. And I'm like, oh my God, it's in VR. I can VR snuggle cats, which, it's, by the way, someone's going to be, she heard cat. And she's like, a cat other than me? Other than me? No, mommy cannot do that. So I got the game and it was so inaccessible. I'm like, there's no reason this game should be inaccessible. Like, this is, I could not get past the menu.
Really?
No, because they wanted you to reach things. And I'm like, I'm sitting. I'm not going to get up and stand and reach things.
There's no, like, reaching with a laser and having it teleport to your hand.
So just in the menu, they're like, grab this button thing. And I'm like, I am stuck in bed. I can't move. And if I reach my arm too far over that way, it's going to pop out. And so I'm like, fuck it. I'll just try it. Let's see if it pops out. And so I tried to reach it and I was still a good, like, 4 inches off. I'm like, how long are people's arms? Like, am I just that short?
Oh, no.
But, like, to me, it's like, if I'm going to do a game development, which I would love to do, I would love to go back to school and do game development because I have so many game ideas. I'm obsessed. Why wouldn't you make your menu, like, you have to do these things to start the game? Why wouldn't that be like, why wouldn't you play test that with a 5-year-old? Why wouldn't you just put a headset on a 5-year-old and go, okay, tell me when you get confused? Or put it on a 46-year-old and ask when you get confused. Forget it. The 5-year-olds are smart now. Never mind. Bad idea. Put on a middle-aged woman and go, hey, where are you getting confused, ma'am? And I will tell you where I'm getting confused. Like, it was so confusing to start the game. And then things were, like, really far away where I'd have to reach and move. Like, I would have had to have actually stood up and moved to the other side of my bed to get to this thing to start the game. And I'm like, if I can't even start the game, and it's just confusing to begin the game, it should be stupid simple. All of them should be stupid simple. And please, game developers, play test with middle-aged women. You know, I will tell you exactly where things go to a point where I can't reach it or I'm confuzzled. And I was so mad because it looked like the coziest, cutest little game.
If it's Nekowatsune, yeah. That's something that I've actually had on my phone for several years and I absolutely love and adore. And when I heard that they had a version in the Meta Store that had VR as well as augmented reality too. So if you've got a Quest 3, you can like put a little kitty door on your wall and they'll like walk through and be in your room. Yeah. So it looks so cute.
And if someone wants to explain it to me on how I screwed this up, it is possible it's me screwing up. I do it daily, hourly, minutely. Okay. So for your physical therapy ones, which ones are your like help you out with physical therapy?
Supernatural is pretty good. The last time you and I talked, they've added so many accessibility features. They listen to us.
I was going
to
ask you if you're using that. Yes, I can now do it in my wheelchair.
Yes. Oh, it's fantastic. So when we first got started with Supernatural, they did not have very many accessibility features at all. Now you can play it while sitting down. So you can turn off the squats. If your legs are hurting, you don't have to do your squats. You can play while sitting down. You can play with one hand. It gave us the one-handed mode. Now they have a new exercise called knee kick or knee lifts, which is actually pretty, just did one of those. And they're awesome. But if you can't do that, they've got an option to turn that off. So you don't have to do those. You know, they've been really thoughtful about folks that, you know, are in, not just folks that are in wheelchairs, but folks who are in like smaller spaces too. Like they've got it to where you could have the targets only coming at you from one direction rather than the, you know, main version, which will have you turning around, which is a lot of fun. I've taken my headset to like a public space that has a lot of open space to do the whole like 360 degree version. I'm sure people got a real kick out of that. I was having fun. And yeah, so shout out to Supernatural. They've really kicked so much butt with all these disability or these accessibility options. And I've got to give a huge shout out to Coach Chesney. She has made exercise accessible for everybody, you know, not just, you know, the gym bro.
Everybody.
Right. Yes. And, you know, she deals with PCOS as well. So she understands, you know, some of the health issues that can cause, you know, complications that might affect your exercise. And just having somebody with that background actually featured in Supernatural and considered part of the team, that was awesome. I love her. She's on Twitch. You can check her out too. Coach Chesney. She just got partnered. So congrats on that.
Did she? Oh, I remember when she came in. I was like, this is amazing. What you talked about with the not having to turn around, that was the biggest one for me because with Eller Stainless, when I was turning around, I am the only person I think who's actually gotten severe injuries playing in VR. Like, I massively dislocated my finger. Like I had like, I have it somewhere on like where I have like my fingers about that big and bright blue because I dislocated the joint. But I've dislocated my knees and my ankles from having to turn around and then reset. So being able to get like the, and if you're listening to this and you're not familiar with what we're talking about, this is the most fun, insane game ever. If you're like, why are you people playing something that you get injured in? Because it's so much fun and it's addictive as hell. Like you're basically Luke Skywalker without the sad boyness, and you get to have like lightsabers and you're like going in all these great patternings. And if you have something like Eller Stainless, the patternings are, I think that they actually got like a physical therapist, but my shoulders have never been more stable. Like super fun and it's stabilizing movements and dynamic movements. And it gets your heart rate up. The boxing one, I drenched in sweat. I'm disgusting after it, but it's so fun. Like, and the only thing I really want them to do so badly that they haven't done, and it's the only thing that they have not really done that I want, is I want to have an ambulatory wheelchair user setting. Because for my profile, it's set up for me standing, or I guess I can make another profile for myself where I'm sitting, but I want to be able to choose between the two. And it would be so fun if like you could just go, I'm sitting now or I'm standing now. Like if they could just set those two things into one, that would be a little easier, but it's not the worst thing in the world. And it's so, and the boxing one you can do so easily from bed.
Sure.
Like I have absolutely done boxing from bed.
I haven't tried that one from bed, but I imagine.
You just have to, all covers have to come off because if you're going to do an uppercut, I have hit myself in the chin before and my cat's looking at me and she goes, you almost hit me too, bitch. So yeah, look at the attitude here. Yeah, watch out for the cats in VR. I just wanted to throw out before I like lose it. Oh no, I already lost it again. I was trying to look it up and it's so hard to find. But there's a new app on here that is like one of my favorite things ever because I feel like it was designed for disabled people and it's not. Oh, Exponential. It's a new one and it basically pulls in like Stretch It Labs. It's all the little boutique fitness things. You start out in the middle of like a little bougie shopping center and you choose which ones. Now, what it does that's super cool is wherever you are facing, that's where the instructor is. So if you're laying down, the instructor's on the ceiling. If you flip over onto your side, the instructor is now in front of you. The instructor is always wherever you are looking.
Okay, so it's like fixed and you're nice.
And there are so many from bed workouts you can do in that with the Pilates. Like, because I get stuck in bed all the time. And like that and Ragnarok.
Oh, Ragnarok's so much fun. It's a rhythm game for folks that don't know.
I've played rhythm games before, but this one, I'm disgusting afterwards. I am sweaty and gross. And it's super fun. And it's also, the problem with rhythm games is usually the upswing. Because when you're in bed, it's hard to do the upswing. But this is down, 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 down. Like you're bam, bam. Yeah.
Yeah, basically you've got like four small drums in front of you.
Yeah,
and you've got, in each hand, you've got like a hammer. And you just hit the drums.
Oh, it's so much fun. And I totally interrupted you. What are your ones? I'm sorry. I had like just finally pulled up that one that I was looking for. I could not remember the name of it.
Oh, it's all good. I mentioned Supernatural. And one quick thing that I want to mention related to Supernatural before we move on is one of the accessibility issues that I've noticed is there's this one map in Supernatural. When you're doing your workouts, you are in these 360 degree hyper realistic like environments that are real places. Like they've actually gone out and filmed these locations and put you right in the middle there while you're working out. It's incredible.
Petra, you can work out in front of Petra.
Oh, that's so beautiful. So there's this map in Yosemite, which is snow covered, and it is absolutely gorgeous, but the targets are black and white. Yes. And my eyes are really bad already, but I can imagine like for most people, it's going to be hard to see the white target coming at you, you know, in there. I reached out to them about that issue, and they've recently reached back out to me and told me that they would look into it. So hopefully they'll make some sort of change, you know, for visual accessibility to help with that. But other than that, like really no complaints about Supernatural right now.
My only complaint, or actually my only warning, is the Facebook group can be super toxic. So just beware.
That's just Facebook, man.
Facebook is where I go to realize I don't necessarily like the people I know. Just like a heads up, if you are like into like the social aspect of Supernatural and you go on the Facebook group, it can be lovely. I've made friends there. It can also get really abusive and toxic very, very fast if you are at all critical of the game. And that's where I got in trouble, was because I did not like that the music was incredibly sexist.
Sexist. Yes, I remember this.
Yeah. And so I was just like, hey, maybe we don't have an entire playlist where the only way women are referred to through 40 minutes or 20 minutes of this workout are whores, baby mamas who are looking for money, and something else. And I got called every name in the book for just going, could we please have other playlists? Or could you at least put some sort of like, hey, the misogyny label? Like, I don't care if you're talking about sex. I don't mind sex. I mind misogyny. And there's a difference between the two things. And like, I just don't want to listen to a playlist where I'm being called all these names for 20 minutes. And then the male workout instructor is going, you are amazing. You are the most powerful person ever. It's like the dissonance was killing me. And
that is one thing that I do want to call out. Like, I just wanted to say, like, the coaches are freaking amazing. Like, I love them. They're so positive and really motivating. And just that's one of my favorite things about them. And they're genuinely cool people, too. I don't know if they still do anymore because I was an early adopter. So I was part of the Supernatural community starting out. I sent friend requests to a lot of the coaches and most of them accepted. I don't know if there's more or not. But I can see like their posts in my feed and they're just genuinely cool people. I love them. But I'm done gushing.
I think that they count as therapy for me. Like, I love it. But like, there's one coach, and they're not going to name the coach, but
oh, sure.
You know, it just felt so weird for him to be like, you are so powerful. You are so amazing. And then behind it is like, you know, all the girls I got in bed last night and like, they were nothing to me. And I left them the next morning. I'm like, this is a lot of cognitive dissonance for me. And I can't. And then I also have a teenager, and it's during like the height of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so there's no way for her to go and get workouts. So I was like, oh, honey, let's do this. And, you know, we both love a lot of hip hop, and I love rap, and I know, but I do love rap. And she was really having a hard time with doing the exercise. So like, what's wrong? And she's like, yeah, why don't you listen to that playlist? I was like, oh, yeah, I could see why that was really not a thing. And it's not just the rap and it was also like the hard rock ones were a lot of that, and like the metal. And like, it's like, could you, I don't know, just sort of like, there's certain words I know you would not allow on your playlist. So maybe we make, you know, some of these other words things that we just don't put on the playlist, or at least, you know, put a warning label, like just go, hey, we're going to be very, very awful to 50% of the population here. So just a heads up. I don't know. I'm still salty. It's been years. It's like 4 years and I'm still salty about it.
Ophelia.
Yeah. The A is a great app. I don't want to like pull anything away from how much I love that app. And I just, I'm a little bit more, you know, now you can check out the songs on Spotify too, because you can look over at the Spotify playlist too, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, that's the definitely like one of my more addictive ones. And Pistol Whip. And I am a pacifist and I freaking love that game.
Have you ever played Till You Fall?
I have. I couldn't. And I think it's, you know, I try to say I'm a gamer because I love the idea of gamifying things and I'm really fascinated by it. I don't know how to play games. I really don't. And I try to play. Like there's like five or six games that the graphics looked amazing. It looked like fun gameplay. I couldn't get past the menu. And I'm starting to think that's really me. Like, it might just be me. I've never played a console game. Like, I've never played Xbox. I don't know how to do this. So maybe that's a big thing. It's like, I just need someone to be like, okay, five-year-old, sit down. Here is this button is to jump, this button is to... Like, I couldn't get through mouse very well. And I loved it. I had so much fun playing mouse. And I'm like, can we just make these games sandbox? Like, I don't want to solve a mystery necessarily. I certainly don't want to die. I don't want something to come at me. I don't want, like, I don't want jump scares. I don't want to get hurt. I'm hurt enough. I'm good.
That's fair. Yeah, I don't think Till You Fall is probably a good fit for you because it's combat.
My son loves it, but I couldn't figure it out. So I just gave up after about, and I swear, this is embarrassing, 2 hours I tried.
Hey, you know what? That's good effort.
I wanted it to be for me, though, because it looked fun. I'm so into high fantasy. And I was like, this is... But I felt so stupid. Like, with mouse, I had to go into, like, all the YouTube tutorials to get anywhere with... Like, my favorite game is the Alice in Wonderland one. I'm forgetting what the name of it is. It's definitely not physical therapy. It's just beautiful. Yes. It's one of the most beautiful games ever. And I had to just I had to go back. It was with the MetaQuest 2. So I had to keep taking the headset off, go to YouTube, look it up, go back to with the 3. You could actually do a ton of stuff in AR, you are going to lose your mind with 3. Like, it's like the difference between wearing your glasses and not wearing your glasses. I'm so excited for you. Like, I'm so excited.
I'm going to start vibrating in my chair. I'm so excited.
I very much feel that. I'm so excited for like a lot of, but unless this game's, I just like, can I sandbox? Like, could you have an option where I can just walk around and interact with things? Like with Assassin's Creed, I don't want to hurt things. I don't want to kill things. I don't want to see blood splatter. I do, however, very much.
But you would like to explore the historical environment,
more than
right?
I can ever express to you. Like, if someone could just make a game where you can explore ancient Rome, ancient Egypt, ancient Mesopotamia, like anything like that, where I could like walk through some wonders of the world back when they were like as recreated as we can recreate them. Like, I'm a history nerd. I would live and die for that game, and I don't need a mystery. I don't need to hurt things. If you have a cat there that I could pet, that'd be great.
Right.
And like, this is the entire reason I want to go back to school, is to learn how to make games so I could make that game. Like, that's one of the ones I would love to make. I think there's got to be more people who are like, even if I like killing things in Assassin's Creed, I would really like to pay attention to the details, because they put a lot of detail. So much detail. Like, Notre Dame, when they were rebuilding it, actually used Assassin's Creed.
Oh, I know. That's so cool they did that. Yes.
It's amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah.
If you don't know what we're talking about, it's worth a Google. Just type Assassin's Creed, Notre Dame, rebuild.
Yeah.
With a Google. Just type Assassin's Creed, Notre Dame, rebuild.
Yeah.
The history there is incredible.
Did I tell you I was there the week before it burned? And I had nothing to do with this.
Are you sure?
I think it's actually, I'm really sure. I know I'm kind of an awful person, but I'm not that awful. We were there like a few days right before, like we were flying out when that happened. It was like, whoops,
major escape. I see.
I guess. I mean, it's really cool. We got to see it. I mean, like, that was fabulous. I wasn't using a wheelchair when I traveled. This is the last trip that we were taking where I was like, I think I can do this with a cane. Spoiler, I could not. It was pitiful. It was sad. Crying in the lube is not a good look for anyone. My family's really hilarious. I don't even know if I should say this on air, but we were walking through the, like, we called it the What the Fuck Jesus Wing. And this is no shade to any religion or whatever, but it was an entire wing of the lube that was like, Jesus is an accountant. Jesus as a 50-year-old man with a mortgage and 3 children. It was Jesus as like a weightlifter. And it was like all these paintings from like the 10th through the 15th century, where like, I've read why, like, your children were considered wicked back in that time. And like, making a child look like an adult meant like he was holy. But we were howling through this whole thing. And I was crying because I was in pain. But my child and my husband were just like, look, it's an accountant as Jesus. And we were like, was laugh, cry, howling through this thing. I mean, the poor, like, security people who understood what we were saying were, like, snickering and laughing. And it was a whole moment. Sorry, that was very off topic.
No, that sounds
absolutely beautiful. Thank you for sharing that moment with me, because
you're very welcome.
We took my child took all these pictures of, like, Jesus's weightlifter, and I swear there was, like, this, like, baby Jesus that looked like it did not miss leg day once in the womb. Like, it was
most baby Jesus.
I don't know what prototype of raw was there, but man, like, a six pack baby. And then there was one looked like he looked balding and very, very upset. So the moral of the story is, I'm very sorry. I do not mean to be disrespectful, but I was in a lot of pain and we were just trying to have a good laugh. And wow, I'm going to get a lot of hate mail on this one. But I feel like someone out there, this is for someone in particular who's like, I get it. Yeah.
Oh, me.
Yeah. Okay, good. It's for you then. Oh,
this is so glad
I can entertain you with my blasphemy.
No, I love a good blasphemy. I'm a big Neil Gaiman fan.
Oh my God.
First, I brought this out because this is a gift that I got for myself. Well, I guess technically Justin got it for me.
A good gift. And I love that book. I've read it a few times.
It is signed.
Oh my God. He signed it.
Yes. Well, I didn't meet him in person, but I did buy a signed copy.
You know, just to ask of the universe, there are certain men in the world that if something bad comes out about, I will not be okay. And that is one of them. So if anyone knows anything horrible about Neil Gaiman,
I can't imagine. I can't imagine.
I don't want to know. I'm like, you know, this is VAR burden level for me. Like,
this will be the thing that pushes me to the alt-right. Joking.
When Neil deGrasse Tyson's whole thing came out, it broke me. Like, I was, it broke me. Like, that hurt my soul. And, like, Neil, speaking directly to you, my friend, just be good. Like, there's a whole bunch of people out there who can't. Like, I just would not be able to be okay. Like, that would break me.
So, okay, back to me. The rhythm games are freaking amazing. I think you mentioned Pistol Whip. Really good. I think the best rhythm game that I've played for accessibility is probably Simp Riders.
I have not tried that one.
Really?
Okay.
I'll check it out.
Yeah. There,
especially folks that specifically have EDS in the support group that I run said that is the only rhythm game that they could play without throwing out their shoulder or arms or whatever. The movements are not as rough. It's more like you're flowing.
Okay.
You basically have got these two balls.
Yeah.
Like one ball on each hand, and you align them with ball targets coming at you. And there are different modes of gameplay. So there's like one where you get points when you use more force to hit the targets. And then there's one where you just have to stay accurate and follow it along these tracks. And they've got a bunch of different music packs that can come with it. They have a Gorillaz pack that's really good. And then, of course, they have some lesser-known artists as well, some original music. It's beautiful. And there's multiplayer, too. So I know that Carrie in my group, shout out to her. She's awesome. You can, if you're in the Swinney support group, just look for her in the members list. I don't know if she's still doing this or not, but for a while there, she was hosting regular Synth Riders meetups where we could get together and play Synth Riders together. And she's got EDS, so she is, you know, has her limitations as well. And she's not going to, you know, poo-poo you for not being able to do certain things. She understands. But yeah, Synth Riders is really great for those movements because you're not jerking your arms around like you wouldn't say, like, Beat Saber or even Supernatural to an extent. But yeah, I think that in terms of physical exercise, those are the apps that I typically go to.
Let's go right over into the social aspect, because you run, this is my obsession with, like, virtual reality and AR, is that for people like me, and I swear most of my life is in this room, like 90% of my life is in this bed, in this room. That's a lot. Like, you watch people lose their fucking minds during the pandemic when they had to stay home. That's my fucking life. Yeah, I was like, wow, so you had to stay home in a whole house. Oh, wow, that must have been real boring. So,
yeah, I wonder what that was like.
Oh, wow, I'm sorry. Hugs. Yeah. No, seriously, though, I'm sorry. That's really rough. And I know how rough it is what I'm trying to say. Empathy, I get it. I'm really sorry. That sucked for all of you who are just discovering what it's like to have, like, serious limitations on your movement. So when you have things like virtual reality, we now have this possibility of working from our beds, from getting to interact with each other, but not just like this, where, you know, Cindy and I are talking from, like, across the country right now, but, you know, it's like we're seeing each other on a split screen. This is like where we get to actually be in a room together and interact with the things in that room together and talk to each other like we're in a room together. It's a very different experience. Like, if you've never played with virtual reality and you want to feel the power of it real fast, watch a documentary that was made for virtual reality, because you're actually looking in someone's eyes while they're talking to you. And it's an experience. It's eye contact. impact. It's a big change.
Mm-hmm. One that I can really recommend for that was, what is the name of that title? It was the one where is it Walking While Black?
I do know, and that one's amazing. There's also Notes on Blindness, which is another one that's really incredible. My favorite was, there's a company called Paul and Joseph, I think. And they do Cirque du Soleil, which is amazing because you get to actually, like, it's not an actual full show. It's a Cirque du Soleil show that's made for virtual reality. And it's a wild, super cool experience. And they also have, like, this one that's, like, gosh, I'm forgetting the name of it. But if you go into their studio, you'll see it. And it's people have come to the United States and they're talking directly to you, looking in your eyes, explaining why. And then there's ones where you get to experience a day in someone's life. And there's, like, a culture where they live on the water and you get to just kind of go through their day as a fly on their wall. And it's so different than a documentary because no one's telling you how to feel about anything. No one's giving you information. You're just an observer as a part of a daily experience. And it really does change how you, like, it changes you on, like, a different level than if you're just sitting in a movie theater watching a documentary. You are now a part of this moment.
Yeah. The one that I was watching is actually called Traveling While Black. So it's close. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen it. And it really is incredible. Like what you mentioned, like actually being in the room and making eye contact with a person who is telling you their life story and, you know, what their experiences have been is totally different from just, like you said, looking at the screen. We experienced how real that difference is when AltSpace closed down, which the support group that I host has been meeting in VR for like every Sunday for the last... We just celebrated our 4-year anniversary. We got our start in AltSpace, which now is defunct. They've closed their doors. It was a social VR platform hosted by Microsoft where you could meet with friends as avatars in these virtual spaces and have events. And when I discovered that, it blew my mind. The first support group that I founded there was a weight loss support group. And I thought, well, if they can have a group on weight loss, I wonder if there's like a group for folks on chronic illnesses or disabilities. And I couldn't find one. So I thought, this looks easy. I'll just start my own. And I did. And this community has been going strong, like I said, for 4 years now. But sadly, when AltSpace decided to shut down, we struggled to find another platform that was as good to continue to meet on. We tried spatial.io. They're great, but they had a lot of bugs that we couldn't, you know, work through. We tried Horizon Worlds, but at the time, they didn't have any moderation tools whatsoever. So there's no way we can have, you know, a public support group event with open doors without having a bunch of trolls and kids, you know, just spilling in and ruining it for everybody. We tried, you know, I tried a few other platforms. I actually hosted a small support group for folks with disabilities in Inner World, which is a mental health focused platform. I'd recommend it if you're interested in learning actual like CBT and DBT, actual therapeutic tools to, you know, deal with mental health issues. They're great, especially for recovery. But I couldn't have my group on there because they want to make it such a, you know, safe platform. They have a lot of rules that just, it made it difficult for me to actually host my group there. So unfortunately, we couldn't find any platforms that were as good as AltSpace, sadly. So we decided to have our meetups in Discord every week until we can find a better VR platform to meet on. Because we didn't want to, you know, not have group meetups anymore. So we didn't just voice chat. We didn't have to have cameras on, but folks started turning the cameras on. That was cool too. And we could see each other face to face that way. But I could tell over time that it was kind of losing its spark. Like we weren't getting that same sense of presence that you get when you're in VR. Like we were happy to hear from each other, of course. And of course, we kept coming back because we wanted to hear how everybody's week was going, check in, you know, sharing our struggles and our wins. But that sensation of actually being in the room with your friends was gone. And I feel like that had a negative impact on, you know, the group's morale. The group's still there, still strong. They're my chosen family and I love them. They're amazing. But I could tell we were all getting really tired of just video calls. We had that Zoom fatigue in Discord.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So there is that real sensation of like presence that you get when you're in VR that you just cannot get from a regular voice or video call. Luckily, we just had our first actual meetup in VR again for the first time in forever. Excuse me, sorry. We decided to move over to Horizon Worlds because they've gotten a bit better. They're making improvements. They don't quite have moderation tools yet. However, they do let you add like some scripting to your world so you can make custom games and stuff in Horizon Worlds. And something that folks have figured out that you can do is you can create moderation tools. So I could basically point at somebody and send them to a ban box, which will take them away from the support group meeting space and put them somewhere where they're not going to bother anybody. So we have that functionality now. So we decided, let's go try Meta Horizon Worlds, give it a shot. And we had a great meetup again. And being able to see my friends face to face, quote unquote, in person, as our digital avatars again, just it felt like home. Just there's no feeling that's comparable other than maybe meeting somebody in real life. But that is the incredible, amazing thing that social VR can do that you just don't get from video sharing platforms. That's something that I really try to explain to folks that I've never experienced VR, but I know would benefit from it, especially like if they're homebound for whatever reason. Like I think that everybody who's stuck at home should have a VR headset because you can get out and go to a concert. Like in Horizon Worlds has had several concerts. Last weekend, I was hanging out with some friends watching Doja Cat shake her butt in my face. It was a great time.
There was a really good Billie Eilish concert on there that I was deeply enjoying.
That's awesome. That sensation of actually being with your friends in VR is something that you have to experience if you haven't yet. Highly recommend. If you're not sure about it, use a retailer that has a really good return policy. So you can get the headset, test it out. If it works for you, great. You can keep it. If not, you can always send it back. Just make sure you look into the return policies before you purchase because they are kind of expensive. But usually you can return things if they don't work for you. But I think you should try it out if you get the opportunity to.
And I'd say give it like it took me like a month to like really kind of figure out the ins and outs of it. Mm-hmm. Like you have to be patient with yourself. There's a learning curve to it.
Yeah.
I think the MetaQuest is probably the closest thing you have to like just plug and play.
Mm-hmm.
But it does require a little bit of patience with yourself and getting used to the sensations of it. Because like for a minute, you're fighting lizard brain. Like you have lizard brain going, you're going to die. And your body is like jumping a ton of adrenaline. And you're like, but I'm in my bed. And your body's like, no, you are on a cliff. Yeah, you have to kind of get through that.
Yeah, there's that phenomenon. It's colloquially referred to as VR sickness, which a lot of people experience for the first time. Like the first time that I tried VR for an extended period of time, I had played Beat Saber for like an hour. And when I took my headset off, I felt drunk. Like I felt like I was on some substance. I was having a slight out of body experience. Like, this is very weird. I've got to sit down for a minute. Apparently that happens sometimes, but it's like just your first time. After it passes, when you put the VR headset on again, it's not going to happen again. It's like learning how to ride a bike. After you've had that experience, it's just, you don't have to worry about it anymore. But sometimes it can happen to people. So just be aware of that. Don't freak out. It's pretty normal.
But like once you start using it, like there's so many free things you can do. Like I'm on such a budget and like YouTube VR is my obsession because I loved traveling. I used to absolutely adore it. I don't know if I'll ever get to do it again, but I loved it. And in VR, I can go along with someone to base camp at, Mount Kilimanjaro. I can walk along Cinque Terre, which is like one of the places I would love to see. I will never get to see it, no matter if I can travel again. It's all stairs. There's no way. I would never be able to do these things. And people will take their really high level cameras and do these things. And I get to do them with them. And it's certainly not the same as if I was getting to do it myself, but I get to at least know what it looks like. And I'm a writer and I'm working on a new book and I get to travel to those places. I can kind of like get some details for something. And if I want to ever travel somewhere, I can see how accessible it is. Like, feel like Japan might be, if I ever travel again, Japan might be the one because, wow, that's impressive. And Italy is definitely off the list because, no.
So many bricks on the roads and so many stairs. Yeah.
I mean, I've gone to Italy twice and I can tell you it was gorgeous and lovely and the food was amazing and the art was everything I've ever, like Tuscany and Florence. Florence was probably one of my favorite places in the world, but that is not wheelchair accessible. Mm-hmm. Venice is a laugh if you want to think about wheelchair access. That's hilarious. So it's good to be able to kind of like see things in if you are having access issues and you're thinking about going somewhere.
Using like Wonder. Wonder uses Google Maps so you can actually walk down the street.
Yeah, I have a lot of trouble with Wonder. There's nothing wrong with the app itself. I have a lot of trouble with like keeping my thumb and moving that way. And so that's not their fault at all. And it's a great app. It's just like Puzzling Places. It's one of my favorite apps. It hurts like hell to do. Aww. It's just that constant grab pull or moving the controller can really hurt after a while. But, it's still worth it.
And the small sacrifices that we have to make to enjoy life,
If I want the full distraction, Puzzling Places is like my favorite app on the whole system. Like, and it was not that expensive and I'm obsessed. And it's basically like, have you played it yet?
No, I know what you're talking about, though. I've seen the store page for it.
So they basically go to a place and do a full LiDAR scan of a room in like Prague or like a castle or something. And you get like all the way down to the brush strokes of the paintings. And in one of the apps, they pull it all apart into different puzzle pieces. So you can do it at like 100 or like 50, 100, 200 or 400 pieces. And you're grabbing these chunks of room and you're putting them together into a full thing. And then once you're done, you're sort of like Alice in Wonderland. You get to stick your head into the room
and your head is like most of
the room.
Okay.
And you can like look at the plaster work on the ceilings in a way you couldn't even do if you were there. Like you can get so into, like you can see cobwebs. It's so cool. So like I put a book on tape going.
Heck yeah. Talking my language.
When you're talking about like chronic pain, there are times where your pills are not going to hit it. Like it's just not going to take care of it. And there's just that level of suffering where you're like, I can't be in my body anymore. I just can't. And like, that's just such the perfect thing. It hits all the levels of like engaging the brain away from like, I don't like this feeling anymore.
I feel like my grandma might love that. Parkland Places app, though.
It's so cozy.
Yeah. I mean, I would love it, too, but I'm always thinking of things to share with my grandma because she loves VR stuff.
And it's to your pace. You know, there's a lot of games where you're being moved along or there's stuff that you have to do at certain times. This is so your pace, cozy game. And it's so fun. The only note I have for the game is please make more rooms. Like, I don't want to put together a railroad car. I want more castle rooms. Mm-hmm. I want more travel rooms. Like, it's so fun. But yeah, I think you'd love it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check it out for sure. Things like that, where you can actually be immersed in a historically important area is so cool. One of the first things that I shared with my grandma when I was letting her experience VR for the first time was the Anne Frank House, which is another really incredible VR experience. If you ever get a chance to check it out, do it. She was absolutely floored, just in awe. She just wanted to sit there in the room and just be present in the space and take it all in. Just seeing her reaction to that and knowing that I have that reaction all the time in VR, it's just like being able to share that with somebody is amazing. And the fact that we have these resources to learn for free in VR is incredible. Of course, you got to buy the headset.
You have to pay for the VR, But once the outlay cost is done, it just, the possibilities of this just, it's like if I had more energy and time, not that I don't have plenty of time, it's just usable time for me because I have lots of time, but it's the usable time.
That's the problem is creating a school.
To create a virtual reality school, because there's so many kids who, like, especially in high school, who can't go to school. It's just not possible. They've either gotten injured or there's financial issues or there's family issues or there's logistic issues, but especially illness. Like, I had to miss so much of my high school because I had surgeries.
Oh, well, I had chronic respiratory infections that kept me out, but yeah.
And the compromise was supposed to be like, it wasn't a compromise. I was not getting an education.
No, you get this homework that you're expected to do on your own. Have fun. Yeah.
And this was before, may I be clear, this was right when AOL started. I am old. This is when you had to listen to the cat's mating Skrillex sound when you logged in.
And kids, if you've never heard that sound before, find a fax number and call it. You'll
hear that. Yeah, it's the same number. It's the same sound. It was when your parents would yell at you for being on the internet too long because it went through, get this, a phone line.
Yep.
So if you were on the internet, no one could make a phone call because we didn't really have cell phones. You couldn't go onto YouTube and like get a lesson. You couldn't go onto Kumon or any of the other amazing apps there are to have someone explain it to you. It was just good luck. And what's really sad is my son is in his 20s and his friend had an accident. And I don't think he broke his back, but it was pretty close to breaking his back. And he was out of school for months. And they would just kind of send someone over to give him tests once in a while. And that's not an education.
No.
So my theory is, what if we had a virtual reality school and kids could go to that? We could have like, you know, the best teachers, college level even would be amazing. You know, we have Outlier for online college, but what if it was a virtual reality thing? Because all of us in wheelchairs know how impossible it is to navigate a college campus in the winter or rain or sit in a stadium with our laptops on our laps. So to have an actual educational setting where you get to have that experience, like you were just talking about, of being in a room with people. We all know how bad Zoom was for education. It was a necessary thing as the best option. But what if these kids are actually in a room together with their headsets and they're able to do the physics experiments together? They're picking things up. They're putting them down. You can feel it in VR. It's crazy how much you feel it. It's just the applications are amazing to me. And I'm so mad that we have the technology But I don't see the fire and passion to get the things done that would be socially important.
Yeah, that's well said. And I agree with you. I think that we're at this point in VR now where we have, you know, we have the technology. We've developed it well enough, but it's still in its infancy. So it hasn't really been adopted by folks that can take it to these high places. You know, they're too afraid to touch it because they haven't really seen what it could do yet. But we have the technology. It can be done. I know that, you know, Meta, for all the mistakes that they make, they are funding a lot of really great development projects in the VR space and AR as well. And so I think that really,
I mean,
rich, bad, I get it. They are funding these things right now.
I feel like they're funding the wrong things. And that's what's upsetting to me.
Sure. My point is they can. They could fund like the education, the social stuff.
They could. Mark Zuckerberg, you could do good things. You could choose good things. Legs are not the things we need. And that is not what you spend $10 billion on. You don't spend $10 billion on us having legs. Trust me, mine don't work. I don't really give a fuck. If you could put the money into creating proper education, you know, since you ruined Silicon Valley and the educational system there, thank you so much for that. You could put the money back into creating schools in virtual reality that are free, that go all the way through college levels, that are accredited. I think you probably have assistants who could figure that out for you.
And it could be absolutely incredible, too. Like you were mentioning, being in a classroom and actually like being able to like perform physics experiments like on your desktop, virtual physical desktop, like you could be sitting there in your classroom and suddenly like go on a literal magic school bus journey through a human body, you know, stuff like
that. Could you imagine the curriculum?
So cool.
I used to be a teacher. I was a teacher for 8 years, and like the curriculum for a virtual reality school would be, it's seriously, you're living in a world of imagination because there's nothing you can't do in that classroom. You need to do a dissection. Cruelty free.
Right.
You can do a full dissection. You can show exactly, like, you're doing human biology. We can start you at where the cells began. And that's a great David Attenborough. David Attenborough, by the way, did a ton of virtual reality.
Oh, man. Yeah. I've watched one of them on, like, the sea creatures. It was neat.
He's done, like, I think there's, like, 20 of them. There's, like, how life began. It's gorgeous. Like, you could, like, if anyone's a teacher and listening to this, oh, my God, seriously, the curriculum would be amazing. Like, could you imagine the curriculum development? And what we're talking about is real. Like, this is where money is going into. Once Apple jumped in, that was it. Like, this is, Apple and Facebook are nothing if not patient. They will force us into this world. And I'm not mad about that. I want this world. A lot of the stuff they forced us into, I'm pissed about. But this one, I'm actually pretty happy about. So, you know, if you want to start getting on the forefront of this, I do honestly believe education is the next frontier that will be. So if you are an educator and you want to develop curriculum, holy fuck, could you imagine the curriculum?
That would be so cool. And like, even if somebody has the resources to do just like a proof of concept project, just to get this out there so that somebody can experience it and see firsthand how important this is, I think that it could explode. I really do think that within it, you know, let's be a little excited about the future here. I think that if I could guess, if we had the funding just to get started tomorrow, we could have VR schools available within the next 3 years.
Yeah.
I think that it would be possible. Nose to the grindstone and do it.
My youngest is in high school right now, and right now in the living room, because my youngest has lots of issues. So I can't imagine where my youngest got those issues from. Anyway,
thanks,
does
Mom.
Online school. Yeah. And my baby's physics teacher lives in Mexico and is the best teacher I've ever seen in my life. My youngest went from like, I don't know how I feel about science and math, to I love physics so much. It's my favorite class. But this teacher lives in Mexico, and my kid gets to learn from that teacher. My child's art teacher works at Pixar, and it's just these incredible teachers. I have not met a single teacher in this school that is not like jaw-droppingly committed and amazing. And what they're doing is kind of a prototype of what we're talking about, because while my youngest is in class, they have a meeting place on the computer, and there's sofas, there's the classroom, they all hang out, and my youngest can watch their avatar move around that room.
That's
and
cool,
interact with other avatars. And so it's a prototype of what we're talking about. It's just not in virtual reality yet,
right.
But it is what we're talking about, just in without that next step. And I can tell you how much my kid is obsessed with that classroom. And like, there's a little bat plushie that's digital in that classroom. So that's the plushie that the avatar holds all day. And like, if that plushie ever goes away, I think there might be a riot for my child. But like, it's pixels, but nope, super attached to it. And that just shows you like how amazing this could be. And also, if you think about the crumbling infrastructure of our school system in the United States, as far as like just the schools, I don't know about how it is where you are, but I live in what's considered a pretty wealthy area, and the bathrooms don't work. The water pipes aren't working. So like, if you could like look at building schools that are, do not require building infrastructure or space that people have to get to, or let's be real, we live in the United States, a child has more chance of being shot than a cop. That is an actual statistic. And then we're looking at, you know what, I'm done petting people behind the ears. We are in the middle of a triple pandemic. That's just reality. I'm sorry if you don't agree with me. I'm too tired to fight with y'all, but that is true. We are in the middle of something where the hospitals are overflowing.
It's happening again, guys. This is not us repeating things from last year. Right now, RSV, flu, and COVID are through the roof. It is bad. I've been isolating at home for the last 3 weeks. I use pickup to get my groceries. I had to go to the store yesterday to pick up my prescription. The amount of people walking around visibly sick and not wearing masks made me want to throw myself in a shower with cleaning chemicals. That was awful.
Everywhere we go, we're like the only ones masking. It's so
frustrating.
But I can tell you, I got COVID once, and I would take my disease over COVID. That was the most miserable I think I've been, next to being in labor. That was horrible. And it was so bad because I was supposed to get my booster shot, and I caught COVID 2 days before my appointment.
That's a lot of stuff.
So what I'm saying is these respiratory infections are probably more of a way of life at this point. And even if they're not, the flu is not fun to have. I don't like the flu. I don't think anyone does.
It was awful.
Yeah. And even if you're one of those people who is healthy, the flu is unfun. So if you have this opportunity to have this educational system that can be a flexible thing. So like, let's say your kid breaks an arm and has surgery, you know, and they're now going to be out of school for 6 weeks. So instead of the school having to hobble something together, which is not educating your child for 6 weeks, they could jump into this educational system for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Or there could be people who are there all year, but this would be a way to move fast, be able to pivot quickly and change curriculum depending on what's needed. And I really think this is a good answer to a lot of issues we're having while we're rebuilding stuff. But while we're rebuilding stuff, you know, there's lots of people in very rural areas who can't get places. Or that it's not safe to get to that school, you know, be it weather issues. We're dealing with huge climate change. We just watched the entire southern part of my state go underwater. We went full Atlantis, apparently, in San Diego. So we're dealing with climate change. I would like to think that we don't interrupt education for anything. And this would be a way that we could do this very affordably. If you think about the difference between opening a physical school and all the insurance you would have to get. And, you know, and you also think about attracting teachers. If you're paying a good salary and they don't have to commute and they could work from home remotely the whole time, I just feel like this might be a really good answer to what a lot of problems are showing.
No, absolutely. And I agree with you. And the science agrees with you too, actually. I just sent you a link to an article.
Okay. And like, my kid is super, if you can't tell where my child gets the ADD from, my child is very ADD. And the lack of behavioral issues, because there's only 9 kids in my child's class, which is amazing. They won't allow more than 9 kids in a class.
Wow.
If there's more than 9 kids that enroll, they set up a new class.
That's awesome.
Oh, seriously. Like, my kid's an amazing artist. Like, this child is one of the most fabulous artists you've ever seen. And all the other kids are super into art. So during geometry last year, the teacher's like, okay, let's teach this using M.C. Escher. So they were able to pivot how they taught to the kids' interests. But when you're dealing with like this kind of classroom, you'd be able to have only like 9-10 kids in a class and easily open up another class if you have more kids.
Yeah.
Or more adults. Like, I would love to go back to college. That would be my dream. I cannot get in a car and drive to, I can't drive. Like, I can't drive anymore. So that would not be a thing. And online college is an exhausting experience right now. It's tiring. It's complicated. I would love to see Apple develop it, because Apple is so at the forefront of, here's technology for those of you who are not tech people.
It is really easy to navigate Apple products.
That is very true.
You can argue if you're an Apple person or an Android person, but nobody can argue the fact that it is just easier to navigate an iPhone.
I argue I'm tired and this is the thing I can figure out.
Yeah. Oh, there's one button that I need to push to do the thing. Let's do that. So the article that I just sent you is, the title is A Study of Class Meetings in VR, Student Experiences of Attending Lectures and Giving a Project Presentation. It actually cites real research that proved or that showed that meeting in VR and having that sense of presence makes you remember things better than actually being in like a Zoom meeting or a whatever video calling platform you want to use. It's just your memory is better when you're actually in that room, quote unquote, in the same room as somebody else, feeling that sense of presence, which is really fascinating. And I think that that says a lot about, you know, the advocacy of actually being in school in VR as opposed to virtual learning, like on a video platform. You're just going to retain more knowledge that way. So I'm all for it.
Well, it's the difference between being like a passive observer and an active participant. That's a very different.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to fall apart. And we've been talking for like almost an hour and a half.
Time flew.
I miss you.
I just want to shout out the group if that's okay. And if anybody wants to join, you're welcome to. We've got a website, sponyvr.com/support. We'll take you to the page that explains what our support group is and how you can join us. We've got several chat rooms that you can just hang out and use a text chat to communicate. We've got one in Messenger and then one in Discord. And then we have a Facebook group. I'm not on Facebook a whole lot, but you can still join that way and I'll check it out. But you can connect with other Spoonies, folks that have chronic illnesses, disabilities, or anything that impacts your ability to function day in and day out. We do meet every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're doing alternating weeks in Discord and in Horizon Worlds. So if you can't make it to a VR meeting just because you don't have a VR headset or you don't feel like putting the brick on for a week, I understand that. You can meet up with us in our Discord meetings, like I said, every other Sunday. And we have a Google Events calendar up on that website the URL that I shared before, that shows when all of our meetings are and where we're meeting up at. We also have movie nights on the last Friday of every month where we meet in Big Screen, which you mentioned before, and watch a movie together.
Oh, when's that one?
That's the last Friday of every month at 7 p.m. Eastern
Standard Time. Send me an invite for this month. I want to go.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, I'll do that. And then on the second Tuesday of every month, we're going to be doing art therapy in Vermilion as well. And Vermilion is an oil painting app.
Oh, no, that's one of my favorite apps. Please do a quick explanation on this app. This is like art joy.
Yes. Yeah. So Vermilion is a beautifully done simulation of oil painting in VR. You've got your canvas in front of you. You've got an entire tool set, you know, an easel full of all the colors of paint you could ever need or want. And then all of the tools, different types of brushes. You got the spatula scrapers and all that stuff too. You could make a full-on Bob Ross painting in the app. And they actually do have a little menu up where you can bring up Bob Ross tutorials within the app and watch them. And you have access to, you know, find painting tutorials to follow along with. And it paints so well. It is very, very, very similar to actually painting in real life. I paint in real life. And I can tell you firsthand, this is an excellent simulation. And I highly recommend it. They also have a multiplayer version where you can invite your friends to come join you. They do have a limit of 4 people to each room. So when we do our art therapy thing, we're going to actually meet up in Oculus Voice Party Chat so we can have more people painting together. But only 4 people can be in a multiplayer room in Vermilion. And they also, if you have a Quest 3 with the full color pass-through, they have an augmented reality pass-through mode where you actually have your easel and your tools and everything in your splitting space that you're in right now. So you can paint in the comfort of your own home with no cleanup afterwards. You can spend all your spoons on a painting and not have to worry about your paints drying out afterwards because you're too darn tired. Put them away. I get it.
And no cost. You don't have to pay for like...
So you have to buy the app, but...
Well, no, but like it's less than a small tube of titanium white. Like it is not expensive to buy the Vermilion app. It is very expensive to buy the canvases, the linseed oil, the brushes. This is an affordable way to paint.
Yes. Yep. And you pay for it one time and you got the app. It's great.
Not a subscription.
Right. Right. And the developer of Vermilion is really receptive. He responds to the community all the time. He asks a question, he will answer. He's incredible. And it's just one guy that made this app. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but
I didn't know that.
It's incredible. So shout out to him for that. But yeah, Vermilion's awesome. And we're going to be doing the art therapy of the second Tuesday of every month. So I'll post the join codes for movie nights and art therapy and stuff in our organizing VR meetups, Facebook Messenger chat, as well as in the Discord. So that's how you can join us for those if you want to. It's a great community. Like I said, my chosen family, incredible people. A couple of the members have even had kids over the years. And just being able to kind of be a part of their lives and watch their kids grow up from a distance has just been blowing my mind. It's incredible how much life can change in just 4 years. It just really puts it into perspective.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I can't imagine my life without them. They're incredible.
Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to see if I can convince Sunny to come on a little bit more often because first off, it's selfish. I miss Sunny, but also I love talking nerdy tech stuff. And I think that a lot of us with chronic illness are not aware of what's out there and what's possible. And I'm hoping I can get you to come back to talk about some of the CES stuff, the Consumer Electronics Show that was about vision. And they have some really amazing new stuff that they were looking at. So I'm hoping I can get you to come back a little bit more often to talk about tech and disability, because that I feel like that's the closest we're going to get to an equal playing field. So Tinu, hopefully, I'm still talking to Tinu, and she's very interested in having a show soon, but she's had some health setbacks. So if you can donate to her, please, please do. Her cancer drugs are very expensive. And I've been a little bit more off than I should be. I'm so sorry if you're on the Facebook group and we have not been very active. It is just strictly family stuff and a fall. So everyone, be kind, be gentle, be a badass, and hopefully I will get to see you all soon.
Thank you for joining us today. To find out more about today's episode, including show notes, transcripts, and more, please visit invisiblenotbroken.com. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also support this show by heading over to our Patreon or by sharing these episodes. We are non-advertising, and our growth is thanks to you listeners. Thank you to our hosts, Monica and Sunny, for a wonderful discussion. This episode was edited by Luke Spine with help by me, Ariana Alter. Last but not least, be kind, be gentle, and be a badass.